Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is the reading of God's word.
Well, good afternoon. Good to see everybody here, especially on this, like, what feels like early spring. If you weren't able to join us for the bowling yesterday, you missed out a little bit. It was a great time. I bowled my best ever, 136. But unfortunately, Joshua took the first place, 191. So, you know, he was lucky. Today, we're continuing here with Community Meeting Sunday and what we're Ministry Sundays. And I think what we want to do today is this, a couple things. One is I'm going to share a brief passage about children and being childlike, what that means for us today. And then right after this, I'm going to invite Johan, our Dayspring director, to come up. He's going to give us a brief presentation about what he's been doing and what he's planning and what maybe some of the needs are. And then we'll take a little time to pray for him and Dayspring and our children. And then we'll go into a communion today. And so a little bit more to do today, but let's continue. Did you know suicide is one of the leading causes of death worldwide? Suicide. As of 2020, the second leading cause of death in the United States between the ages of 15 and 34 is suicide. According to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, suicide was the third leading cause of death among adolescents in the U.S. for 7 years straight. In 2020, it's reported that people in the U.S. ages 10 to 64 had a suicide rate of 10.7 person per 100,000. It was the leading cause of death in the United States, accounting for 48,183 deaths in 2021. It's an issue, not just for our young people, but also for our older people. But there have been more studies that have been coming out lately about why that is the case, especially among our young people, our children. Why is it growing? And there's cases now being built. I don't know if you've read about this or even heard it on the news, but part of the problem is social media. Social media. Now, if you're in Dayspring, you know what I'm talking about. Instagram, TikTok, maybe Facebook, if you still do that. I don't know what else is out there. I don't do it too much. And you think, well, how does that contribute to health? And of course, suicide especially. And they say, well, because young people are learning and experiencing things like cyberbullying, things like promotion of suicidal and self-harming actions. But one of the things that they know psychologically, that not just young people, but all of us, when we look at certain social media, is this: comparison and imitation. We compare ourselves to what we see, and some of us, we imitate what we see. And so there's an increasing studies, more and more studies being done to say, maybe this is a big issue for us, and it might be something that we need to talk about in the future. We compare ourselves when we see, you know, those of us who are still in the Facebook generation, you know, nobody posts the worst picture of themselves on Facebook. They put the best. The vacations, you know, the family, the children, everyone's happy. They've got the perfect life. You want that. Or you see on, you know, a reel, an Instagram reel or something, now, someone who's very pretty found this new makeup. You should try it because you could be pretty too, just like me. Body image issues, promoted. This is what you need to look like. And you could do it, just do these things. And if you're young and you're either comparing or you're imitating, it affects you. It affects you. We live in what we call the superlatives. Even at an early age, growing up in elementary school. We live in the superlatives. We want to be the popular one. We want to be the most liked one. We want to be the toughest one, the coolest one, or the smartest one. We want to win the education awards, the achievement awards, even the presidential physical fitness award. All of us, wherever we are, however old we are, we want to be good. We want to be good at something, if not great at something. And we want the acknowledgement. We want the recognition. Some of us who maybe are working in the corporate world, you may know some of this, but many of us in general, we are moving up the ladder. We're busy keeping up with the Joneses to maintain in our workplace a certain status, a certain reputation that defines us. How much we make, maybe, what kind of jobs we have, what cars we might drive, what kind of friends we hang out with. And let's be honest, because I don't know that many people that say, well, I want to be mediocre, right? I don't know many people that say, I want to be terrible at everything I do. But I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we all want to be good, we all want to be great, and we admire those who we think are great. This is the way that our world works. This is our culture. This is very normal. But when you look at this passage that Sang just read for us, this brief passage, Jesus kind of flips that on its, you know, around, and he seems to have a special place in his heart, not just here in Luke, but everywhere in the New Testament. Jesus seems to have a special place for children. And in our passage today, when he talks about children, he's not just talking about any child, but these are young children, okay? Most likely, a lot of them infants coming to Jesus in their mother's arms. And what happened was that, you know, Jesus was probably teaching, and he was talking to all these adults, and here come these women with their infants. And they want Jesus, you know, to pray for their kid or their child. They want to, you know, just to meet Jesus Christ. And the disciples were watching this and say, hey, wait a minute. He's busy right now. You know, you need to keep your kid back a little bit so he can finish doing his thing. And immediately Jesus says in verse 16, he says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. I don't know if you've ever heard this verse before, but think about this. Jesus says, let the children come because to those people, the children, belong the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Charles Spurgeon, very famous Baptist preacher, believed and even preached that if an infant passes away, they all go to heaven. If an infant passes away, he believed they all go to heaven because of verses like this. Because to such as them belong the kingdom of God. I don't know whatever you think about that. That might talk about those infants. But verse 17 in our passage, then he talks about all of us. And he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And so what he seems to be saying here is this, that in order to receive the kingdom, in order to receive salvation, okay, in order to receive Jesus Christ, Jesus says in our passage, if you want to receive, you have to receive it like a child, like one of these children. Now, what does that mean exactly? What does it mean to receive like a child? And we're told, given another hint in Matthew chapter 18, where again Jesus talks about children, and he's asking the disciples, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? And then he says in verse 3, I say to you, unless you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 4 in Matthew, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. So again, just like Luke, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. But the difference in Matthew here is this, that in verse 4 of chapter 18, Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. So Luke says, you want the kingdom of God, you need to receive it like a child. Matthew says, you want to receive the kingdom of God, you need to what? Humble yourself like a child. So receiving the kingdom of God like a child has to do something with being humble. So what does that mean then? What does that mean with humility? What is humility? What is childlike humility? And it doesn't mean necessarily to try and think of yourself lesser than anybody else, or try and pretend that when a compliment is given to you, or when you receive something and someone said nice, that it's not really true, and so you pretend that it's not really true. That's not humility. That's not what he's talking about. Many people think that when Jesus says we should be like children and be childlike, it simply means that we need to be kind of innocent or pure or maybe naive to the things of the world. And if you're a parent, most of you know this, children are not all so pure. That's not what it means either. But what you have to understand here is this, that in Jesus' time and in ancient society, the most powerless members of that society were little children. In most of ancient society, the older you got, the more your status increased, the more your authority increased. Even in Jewish culture back then, children were loved. They were loved. They weren't despised. But the point here is that Jesus is talking about children because in that particular culture, children had no status apart from the love and the privileges of their parent. Without their parents, they are nothing. Kids, if you're sitting there, you need to thank your parents. You're nothing without your parents. Well, we not believe that, but that's what they believe. That was the convention of the day. They had no power or privilege apart from what they received as total dependence from their parents. So if the person at the top of the pecking order is the greatest, then at the top of the pecking order in God's kingdom, he says, is a child. At the top of the list for him is someone whose status is not at the top of the world, but it's actually at the bottom of society's pecking order. The person at the top of God's kingdom is someone who is not independent, who's not making all the calls. The person at the top in God's kingdom is someone who is subject to grown-up authority, someone who is dependent, someone who is powerless. And if you really understood this, okay, if you really believed this, then it should have great ramifications on how we ought not only just to view each other, but how we view people in our society. Those people in our culture we know who don't have that kind of status, who don't have the privileges we do, who have no power to make any kind of change. Those people in our society who always seem dependent, who are always under authority and always in need. People like the poor, the disenfranchised, the racially oppressed, people who might generally consider, whether we know it or not, that we consider them, we treat them like second-class citizens. And in Jesus' time, second-class citizens were children. Were children. And Jesus flips that around, and he says, you want to be with me? You've got to be like this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? This child. We have a lot of children in our church. I don't know how Johan does it. Sometimes he's all alone, filled with a bunch of kids. Who, yeah, you know, they're all cute. I think they're all cute. But let's be honest, some of them are really annoying. Or can be annoying, right? My kids were like that. And they're funny. They're like, you know, in a room, I picture Johan surrounded by little kids like they're human puppies running around, creating a mess. And we kind of accept it. We deal with it because they're just kids. It's what kids do. And we're adults. And they're not. You know, there was a time when I used to think that little children, even infants and older, it was like animals. Because when I had my first child, I was just busy feeding them, clothing them, entertaining them, disciplining them. It just felt like a lot of work, and there was no reward from that immediately, right? And I felt like it was sort of like raising pets. Now, of course, I know, you know, our children are not pets. They're not animals. They're human beings. but subconsciously, in my mind, maybe not fully developed humans. And so for adults, there's a tendency when we see a bunch of children being children, we tend to brush them aside, right? We tend to pass off every cry, every tantrum, every whining, every complaining comment by saying, "What do you know? You're just a silly child." And as true as that might be, what we find in the Bible is that Jesus has partiality to children. Not because they're so young and need to be protected, but also why? Because in Jesus' eyes, children are also created in the image of God. And that means that there is a dignity that even children have just as much as we do. And even if the world doesn't recognize that, God does. That as much as they need to still grow and they need to mature, in God's eyes, and should be in our eyes, when we see children, they are living souls. They are born with an eternity in their hearts. Imagine this, okay, just like in this passage and in Matthew 2. Imagine this during fellowship time, and we're waiting for the food, and all these kids, all our kids are running around, going crazy, and someone falls and someone hurts themselves, and now you hear crying, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, someone control them, right? And then you just, you know, it's just hard to focus. But then imagine like if Jesus walked in, and he walks into our fellowship room, and he takes one of these kids of ours, and he sets them in front of everybody, right? And he says, you have to be like him. You have to be like her. And unless you become like one of them, you will not enter the kingdom of God. How would you feel? Greatness in the kingdom of God and greatness in God's eyes is a matter of humility, not power or position. And the child's humility is not feeling humble or acting humble. The child's humility is because he or she lacks status, lacks ability, lacks power. So when Jesus says to be humble, to receive the kingdom, what he's saying is that we need to recognize, like this child, our inability, our lack of power, our lack of status to do anything about our salvation. Everywhere in the world, it says, if you want to be great, this is what you have to do. This is where you need to be. This is what you need to accomplish. This is, if you want respect, if you want to be loved, if you want to be accepted, then look like this, talk like this, think like this, be like this, do this, and you will live. You will be blessed. That's work. But gospel, Christianity is the very opposite. How do I know? Because how can insignificant, helpless children who can't do anything for themselves, how can they be great in God's kingdom if they can't do anything? If they can't earn anything for themselves? If they're not able to accomplish or achieve on their own? They're still helpless. They're completely dependent. And yet God says, they've got status. They've got a position. They're great in my kingdom. You want to be good in God's kingdom? You want the kingdom of the Lord or God in your life? Be like them. And we can see why God could say that to children. How could he say that to adults? What does that mean? And here's the thing. Jesus came into this world, right, to do for us what we can't do, to pay a price for wrongs that we could never fully pay for. He died so that we could live. He was rejected so that you could be accepted. He was hated so that you could be loved in spite of yourself. He was crucified so that you could be glorified. In other words, Jesus himself humbles himself, removes his status as the Son of God, comes into this world to be like one of us, gives up his status to make us great in his kingdom with a real status. In our world, it's always the strongest, it's always the fastest, the smartest, the prettiest, the most self-sufficient, the most independent. They're the ones that are in. But in God's world, it's the opposite. It's the humble. It's those who are like children, those who seem insignificant or weak, those who are unable to do anything, but have everything to receive those that depend not on themselves, but on God, on the grace of the Father and the work of the Son. They're the ones that are in. That's why Jesus says in verse 17 in our passage, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, shall not enter it. Let me end with this, two practical things to think about. So then how do you receive the kingdom of God like a child? How do you do that like a child? How do you receive salvation? How do you receive Jesus like a child? What does gospel-driven, childlike humility look like when you receive Jesus Christ? Two things. First, I think practically what it means to be childlike is this. You already know. You recognize that you are helpless when it comes to God. There's a complete reliance on only what he has done and not what you can do. Right? Think about little children, right? Infants and even toddlers. Little children, when they want something, they don't come in. When my first baby came out of the womb, he didn't start coming out and say, Dad, let's make a deal. If you feed me this much every day, I'll promise I will stop crying this much. Right? What do children do? The first thing they do is cry because they want. Because they can't on their own. They don't come in negotiating a deal. They've got nothing to negotiate with. But what do they do when they want something? They come in and they say, Mommy, Daddy, I want this. I want it all. They are completely reliant on Mom and Dad to do for them what they can't for themselves. That's what it means to trust in Jesus like a child. But the second thing, and this is something that we need to remember, is this. It was a few years ago, I don't remember, but one of my kids, I don't remember which one. Mia's here, so maybe it was her. But they come back from school, and the first thing they say to me, they don't say, hi, Dad. They don't say, hey, Dad, I miss you. You know what they say? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What do you mean, what's for dinner? You're an adult now. You don't come in expecting dinner. You get your own dinner. Me and Mom are going to go out. I mean, what's for dinner? Like, so I get a little upset. And the response from one of the kids was this, but that's what good parents are supposed to do. So I said, I'm not a good parent then. You figure it out on your own. Children expect parents. They expect it. They expect to be loved and accepted. That's why they come to us, for whatever reason. They expect it. They know on their own that they can't do certain things on their own. But they come in to Mom and Dad and say, I want this. Why? Because they expect it. Why? Because they are children. They have status with Mom and Dad. So here's the thing about childlike humility. It doesn't mean, oh, I don't deserve this. Please, can I have this? No. It's a confidence because you believe in status and a relationship you have. That's childlike humility. So here's the thing. If you have too high a view of yourself, you're too independent, and you're negotiating with God, look, God, I'll go to church this time. I'll pray this much. I'll serve this much. Therefore, if I pray for this, will you not answer? That's not childlike humility. You can't negotiate with God. You're not childlike. You're not dependent enough. You have a too high view of yourself. But on the other hand, if you have a too low view of Jesus' love, if you forget how much Jesus loves you, how much your Father in heaven cares for you, and so you never ask for anything, because maybe you don't feel like you deserve it, or maybe you're not sure if it's going to be answered, you're also not childlike. How do I know? How do I know how much God loves me? Like a son or a daughter, how do I know that I have status with this God? How do I know Jesus really loves me? And the answer is always the same. Look at the cross. If you haven't seen your value Not in social media, not in TikTok, not in Instagram, not in what your friends say you should look like. If you haven't seen your value, what the way God sees you, you haven't seen the cross. Not really, not deeply. Because do you know what the cross of Jesus shows you? It doesn't show you social media. It doesn't show you Facebook, Instagram, or whatever that shows you how good your life could be, how pretty you should be, how successful you want to be, or that you're missing out on something in the best in life. When you look at the cross, do you know what it shows you? It shows you how much you are valued and loved, even at your worst. The cross is ugly. It's nails, it's blood, it's curse, it's sin. And yet this is what God would do for you. He loved you at your worst. This is important. Look, think about this. If you don't know me enough and you meet me and I'm trying to be really nice to you, you might say, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, PF, he's one of the nicest guys I know. And I don't know how to take that. I don't, with a grain of salt. But if my wife says, honey, you're the nicest person I know, that means something. Why? Because if anyone knows how selfish I am, if anyone has seen me at my worst and still say, I love you, that matters. And when you look at the cross and you look at what Jesus did there, what you're seeing is God saying to you, I've seen you at your worst. I know what you've done. I know what you're thinking. But look how much you mean to me on the cross. You've got status with me. Not because of you, but because of me. So receive. Receive. Receive the kingdom of God like a child, humbled because you know you can't earn that. You know you can't negotiate that. You know you can't do anything about that on your own. But you're humbled because you also know that God is your Father in heaven. He can do it. He did it. And he did. He sent his Son, Jesus, to live a life that you and I should be living, to die a death that you and I deserve. You can have this status, this family status. You can run into God's room and with a bold kind of humility say, Daddy, do this. I want this. I want it all. Now, I'm not talking about asking God for whatever you want and thinking he's going to give it. Because you got to trust dad and mom to give you not just what you want, but also what you need and what's best. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to kingdom, when it comes to everything that God has and all that it contains, especially Jesus Christ, Jesus says to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your words. We pray, Lord, that we get a clear understanding more and more of how we got here, or what we're looking for, or understanding simply just how you do things. And the simple teachings, simple as it is to learn, are always difficult to process and deepen practically in our lives. But we pray, teach us what it means to be humble with a childlike humility. Teach us not only to look at our children in the church as people that you've created in your image with eternity destined for them, but also to look at ourselves and to look at one another as children whom you have saved for yourself and for your glory. We pray, Lord, that before you, if anyone, at least before you, that we would come in, recognize who you've made us to be, your children, and come to you praying and crying out, because we know we can't do things on our own. We know there are things out of our hands. We know there are things out of our control. And we know, Lord, that oftentimes we feel helpless. to come and run to you, to recognize no matter how bad we are, how short we are of your standards, how many things we've done wrong, how many things we've said wrong, in the cross, you show us how much you loved us anyways. And you made us your sons and daughters. And so you tell us to come to you like children. And we put our life in your hands. And that know that you are working in ways that we don't always see and understand. And we trust that you know what's best for us because you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.